The mayor of Nashville announced over the weekend that her 22-year-old son died of a drug overdose. It's not clear what he overdosed on, but the majority of drug overdose deaths involve an opioid. And many of those opioids are coming into the U.S. from other countries, primarily Mexico and China. Joining us now is Ambassador Bill Brownfield, who's the Assistant Secretary in the State Department's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement. Ambassador Brownfield, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. A pleasure to be here.
Well, and when you look at the opioid crisis overall in this country, how many of those drugs are coming in from outside of the United States?
Listen, when I talk about the current crisis, I say it's not just opioids. It's opioids, it's heroin, and it's fentanyl. Now, most of the opioids that are consumed here in the United States are, in fact, domestically produced and then diverted into the black market. But nearly 100% of the heroin that is consumed here comes from outside of the United States. The overwhelming majority, like 95% of that, from Mexico. And the fentanyl, which is taking what is already a crisis and turning it into a mega crisis, overwhelmingly comes from outside the United States as well. In this case, largely from China.
From China. And last year, the U.S. and China agreed to work together to stop fentanyl and other similar drugs from coming into the U.S. from China. Has that worked?
Jeremy, I'm going to give you a pretty good news story here, not because I'm Pollyanna and always looking for the positives of a story, but rather because we have a fairly good story to tell. We started a serious dialogue with China about 3 years ago on the matter of fentanyl and other synthetic drugs that are coming into the United States. Since that time, China has moved to control, by which I mean to place law enforcement restrictions on 136 synthetic products, including fentanyl and all of the analogs, kind of the fentanyl-based synthetics that are produced lawfully in China over the last year and a half. They have worked with us in the international organizations, the International Narcotics Control Board, the Commission on Narcotic Drugs, to place UN controls on precursors for fentanyl. And I've got to tell you, I do not claim that all parts of the bilateral relationship between the U.S. and China are working well. But on drugs, I give them credit. We're cooperating quite well.
But we're still seeing fentanyl pop up in much bigger numbers around the U.S.
We most assuredly are. I believe what is happening today is that there is still some legitimate and legal fentanyl produced in China that goes into legal or licit markets, and a great deal of fentanyl is exported from China to Mexico. In Mexico, it is then diverted into the criminal trafficking stream, if you will, where largely heroin trafficking organizations introduce fentanyl into their heroin product, which is then trafficked into the United States. And the danger, as you well know, and I'm sure I don't have to explain to you, the danger of fentanyl, a product that is perhaps 10 to 50 times as potent as morphine or heroin. The danger, of course, is that if the user thinks he's just using a heroin product and is unaware that it has been made infinitely more potent by the introduction of fentanyl, the risk of overdose and the risk of death is much, much higher.
What about the even more dangerous carfentanil?
Yep, which is sometimes described as fentanyl on steroids. If fentanyl is 10 to 50 times stronger than morphine, carfentanil is 10 to 50 times stronger than fentanyl. And to indicate just how strong it is usually used as an elephant or large game tranquilizer.
Right. And is it coming from China or Mexico or both?
Much of it is being produced in China. China has worked with us, first in terms of controlling their own carfentanil, to ensure that anything that leaves Chinese shores legally is under customs and economic ministry controls. Second, they have joined us in asking the World Health Organization to schedule carfentanil, which is to say to certify it as a dangerous product, which therefore should be on the United Nations global list of controlled substances and controlled products. We are today just beginning to see carfentanil enter into the criminal drug trafficking networks, but it is so incredibly dangerous, where nothing more than a tiny grain of the stuff can kill a human being, that we do want to get on top of this as quickly as we possibly can.
We did some reporting from Mexico earlier this year, and one of the things that we heard was, you know, you're looking at the source of some of these drugs, but actually the demand is coming from the United States. So my question to you is, even if you were able to sign agreements and stop these drugs from coming in, can you really stop the drugs from coming in if the demand exists in the U.S.?
Now, Jeremy, you put your finger on the age-old problem and the discussion that we have had here in the U.S. for 50 years or more. If there is no demand, there is no production. Of course, by the same token, if there is no production, then eventually demand will die out. At the end of the day, my argument is as follows. We have, in fact, a serious growing problem with drug abuse on some specific products today in the United States of America. 95% of the heroin consumed in the United States comes from Mexico, and yet we are making good progress with the government of Mexico under the Merida Initiative to address this issue. Colombia today produces 250% of the cocaine that it was producing as recently as 2013. Hmm. And yet we are working cooperatively with the Colombian government under Plan Colombia. More than 80% of the South American product comes to the United States through the Mexico and Central America corridor that we are addressing through the Central America Regional Security Initiative. Most of the synthetics and certainly most of the fentanyl and carfentanil comes to China. We are working much more closely with them now than we ever have before. We've got a problem. We have a crisis, and the news is pretty grim. But my message for you, Jeremy, and I guess for those who are listening, is that our international architecture for cooperation and engagement is much stronger today than it was as recently as just 10 years ago.
How many people are involved in getting some fentanyl from China to, let's say, Cleveland, Ohio?
This is what most frightens me, Jeremy, about fentanyl. It is actually a much easier process and a much easier product to insert into the supply chain than is cocaine or heroin. The laboratory process is much simpler. The transportation is in much smaller packages, and you can do in an envelope what might take you a truck with a larger product. That is what we have to address from a law enforcement perspective, both here at home, also bilaterally with certain key countries, our neighbors, Mexico and Canada, major players like China, but finally in the entire international context, working within the UN system to ensure that there is a single standard applied throughout the world that puts legal controls on the production, export, and import of fentanyl.
Let me ask you this question, and I don't mean for it to sound political, but I would like to ask you, would a wall along the border help in the drug war?
Oh, you rascal. I'm not going to take on that issue directly. What I will tell you is a matter of simple common sense. A wall, like almost any other element along a border, is a tactical opportunity. No specific technological or, for that matter, construction device is going to provide an absolute and complete protection. Whether it's radars or movement detectors, whether it's a fence or a wall, for that matter, whether it is lining up a border guard every 10 yards, everything is subject to being assessed and worked around by professional trafficking organizations. But by the same token, it is a tactical opportunity. So my own guess is that in the years to come, we will talk about how all of the elements, the technological elements, the intelligence collection elements, the personnel and transportation elements that we can apply both at the border and downstream, deeper into countries from which the product or the people are moving, will all be part of an integrated law enforcement and border control exercise.
That's Ambassador Bill Brownfield, who is the Assistant Secretary in the State Department's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement. Ambassador, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll link you to some of our other conversations about the opioid crisis at hereandnow.org.